Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It's the Rick Hale and the Karen Frazier. I really need to re-record that and get my name first. And I know I say that every time, but it's going to happen.
Know, Karen, you are the true talent of the show.
And, you know, I bring this up every show, at the beginning of every show, just so you can say that to me, just so I can hear you say that. So
That's the ego coming out.
That's right. It sustains me for the rest of the week. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That keeps you going.
That's right. So you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. That's the way it's supposed to go.
Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
That's right. Hey, maybe we should, you know what we could do? We could do like one of those smooshed together names, you know, like, what do they call, like, Bennifer. Oh, like
Brangelina.
Yeah, or Brangelina or Bennifer. What would it be with Karen and Rick, though? Hey, Cheryl, what would it be with Karen and Rick? Crick sounds kind of, hey, they're Crick.
Oh my Rickerin. God, Rick and Karen, that's kind of awkward. We'll have to come up with
Rickerin. What do you think?
We'll come up with something better.
Crick, Rickerin, Rarin.
I love bringing Cheryl on the show.
I know Cheryl. Carrot. That's because Cheryl hates it every night. This is for anybody who is listening and doesn't know that this is what we do. Is every night before the show, Cheryl says, "Yeah, I'm not going to come on tonight." And Rick and I said,
"Guess what?
I have a slight cold tonight, but I'm okay." Hey, how about Carrick? The only thing with Carrick is that Rick gets his whole name in the little combo.
Well, and the thing with Carrick is, it sounds like it should be like a character from Lord of the Rings, doesn't it?
Ooh, more like Star Trek kind of thing, you know, maybe okay. What are those guys? Klingons.
Here's one. How about Ikar? Ikar. That's kind of Klingon-y.
So, anywho, welcome everybody again, you know, like we already said, to Paranormal Underground Radio.
Our first show of 2011.
Now, is it 2011 or 2011?
It doesn't matter. I say 2011 when I'm feeling lazy, 2011 if I'm feeling expansive. But here's the thing. We only have 2 years left until we die.
Excellent. I can't believe
this. I know.
That sucks.
Psychic abilities are going to be
enhanced. You know, Cheryl, I'm just hoping for your sake it's the zombie.
A great shift in consciousness.
Oh, great.
I'm hoping it's the zombie apocalypse for Cheryl's sake.
Yeah, did you hear about the zombie ants? There's zombie ants now. Thanks, Chad told me about it the other day. I was like,
what's the zombie ants?
Oh, God. See, this is when we need Chad, because I only, like, peruse the article. Basically, this fungus, this fungus or fungi or whatever attaches itself to the ants and basically makes them do... what it wants it to do, and then kills them off. And then it sprays itself out to infect more ants and kill them off and has them do all sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah.
That zombie is ants. Insane. Now, is that kind of like right up there with your haunted chair or?
Yeah, it's right up there with the haunted chair. It's not quite there, but it's almost there.
So has your haunted chair done anything lately, Cheryl? Any mm-mm. made any haunted moves at you?
It hasn't. I've been waiting and watching, but nothing.
I just have this image of Cheryl sitting there all day long watching the chair.
Just
out of the corner of my eye.
Don't sit on it naked, because God only knows what a haunted chair may do to you.
Wow, that's
that would
great.
Be the, that
Thanks
would be the
tip.
Incubus or succubus chair, wouldn't it? Which is which?
Yeah. Let's see. Incubus is the male because, you know, in. And the succubus is the female because of the suck. That's how I always remember it.
That would be how you would remember it. See, in to be... Oh, okay. You were thinking in different than I was. Never mind. You know, I was thinking innie and outie.
No, that's not what... Yeah, I was... Yeah, a little innie and outie there. So, anyways, Karen, tonight we have an interesting show. For our listeners, we have nobody.
Another Saturday night and I ain't got no body.
So before everybody goes run screaming to the hills, we do have a rather interesting show tonight. We're going to be kind of doing a paranormal roundtable, talking about all things that are strange, wonderful, and odd. And joining us tonight is JD Harrison. JD, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
And we have the boss, the man who owns Z-Talk Radio, and he's sucking back on some clams, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Rourke. Hey, Scotty.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien.
I don't think he wanted anybody to know that he was sucking back on clams. I think that was a secret.
No, that's good. I love clams.
We're also going to have Jenny Brown in just a second, if we can get her back. Jenny represents our skeptic. Well, we're all skeptical in different ways. So we're having a little trouble with Skype tonight, folks, but we'll do what we can. So Jenny, Scotty on, Tuesday nights on the Buzz. No, Monday nights on the Buzz.
Right.
And then Tuesday nights.
It's past your bedtime.
Past your bedtime. Okay. And then is that it, or are there others that I am
We have the Paranormal Roundtable, which is moving because we just got a new show to go after the Skeptical Ghost Hunter on Wednesday nights. We're moving the show. We don't know where we're going to. It's called Snoops Radio.
Okay.
Or Swoops Radio. Yeah, something like that.
Swoops. I think I saw something about that. Yeah.
Swoops. Yeah.
Oh, they were in our chat room last week. That was what it was.
There you go. So, yeah, they're coming aboard with us on Wednesday nights from 11 to 1 Eastern.
Very good.
So, yeah.
All right. So big things happening at Z Talk Radio.
Yeah, we have, but right now I think we have 4 new shows coming aboard. So
cool. Well, I know that there's one that's going to be like a sports psychic. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Who's doing that show? Who's the host?
Put me on a spot.
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. Brett Favre, if he's got nothing else to do now, so why not?
That's right. Watch out, it'll hit on Zeta or something, you know.
Zeta set it up, so I don't know who it is yet. So.
Okay, all right. Well, I won't put you on the spot.
Big dog. The big dog doesn't know everything that goes on in the station. I just pay the money.
Well, thank you for that. That works for us. So before we get started on our roundtable, Jenny, you're with us. Jenny?
Yeah, I'm here.
Were you messing with me?
Well, hello, Jenny. I forgot to unmute the mic.
She's talking away.
God, I hate Skype. Hi, everybody. I'm here.
This is what happens when you get too many people. And, of course, Jenny is one of my fellow travelers with Northwest Paranormal Investigation Agency. She's new to the team, and we're glad to have her.
Okay, thanks.
So welcome, Jenny.
Jenny, I guess that you will officially be our player hater for the evening.
Sweet.
And we promise to be unfair to you as possible. So
awesome. Love it. Bring it on. Right.
And then I just wanted to check in really quickly before we do the roundtable. Cheryl, is there anything you would like to tell people about any upcoming magazine things?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have our January issue online pretty soon. Check probably in about 3 or 4 days. And that's free for everybody to read. They just need to log on and check it out in our forum. And then, of course, we have the archives that are open to anybody. You don't even have to sign in to get to those. And I think you guys talked a little bit about your articles last week. We basically have some pretty cool...
We break them up, yep.
Yeah, we got some pretty cool articles. One is on the 7 haunted wonders of the world. We have Rick's Clapham Woods, Karen's Lewis County Museum, and a bunch of other cool things. So I hope people check it out.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very good. All right, so I think that what we'll do, guys, is that as we go through the roundtable, just because it can be a little confusing on Skype, we'll just kick in when you want. How's that? When I ask a question, I'll point it to one person first, and we can just go from there. Sound good? Free for all? Everybody ready for free for all?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Good. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to start off with something that was in the news this week. Do you guys know what it is? There are birds falling from the sky.
Oh, the birds.
Yeah. There are birds falling from the sky, and there are fish dying everywhere. So let's start with Scotty. What the heck, Scotty?
As of about 10 minutes ago on the news, they said the birds were discombobulated and ran into stuff and just died. So They blame it on the fireworks. So there's a massive cover-up going to happen there. So.
Oh, well, see, this is supporting my theory, though, because my theory is this. Giant bird rumble, a la the Sharks and the Jets, and I'm thinking that they probably just went at each other, and this is what
the birds happened. And the fish.
That's right. No, so it was
surf and turf, actually.
Yeah, surf and turf.
surf and turf.
Very good. So what do you think they're covering up?
I actually don't think. I just think it's... I do believe it's just a natural thing. I don't know about the fish because I haven't heard anything about it other than it happened today. About was it like 3,000-4,000 fish washed up on shore. So I mean that could be anything. More. That could be anything from contaminants in the water, from you know the oil spills, that type of stuff. Mm. So don't know. I mean it could be many types of things. Sure. I don't think. The big misconception is the Earth is warming and it's not,
right?
Because even global warming people have changed their name now to climate change,
right?
Because they couldn't prove that the Earth was warming, so now they can go to climate change. Oh, everything's going to happen because of climate change. Well, yeah, everything happens because of climate change. Duh, it's happened ever since we were a planet.
That's climate change.
Right. So, right. I mean, let's not go crazy with that. But I think probably the fish have something to do with what happened in the oceans. And there was also that earthquake that happened in the ocean, and they thought they would have a tsunami off of it. Maybe that forced more oxygen into the water or something to kill the fish. So until they really figure it out, I don't think there's the mass kill-off or poisons in the water or anything like that.
Very good. So let's ask Science Guy.
I knew that was coming.
you knew I was headed to you, huh?
The fish, the ones in Chesapeake Bay, the big fish kill that happened, I think it was yesterday or whatever, that's been recorded several times in the last couple decades. They're spot fish, juveniles. They had a overpopulation this year. They tend to do that, and it wasn't like a population collapse, which will happen in species when they reach a critical point in population, but because of the overcrowding, they don't have access to deeper water, and being juveniles, they're real susceptible to the cold, and it's been like the last month has been the coldest ever recorded on record. I mean, they've had really good cold snaps, so... That's kind of, I can accept that. That's, like I said, it's happened. I think it happened in 70-something, late 70s, then again in the late 80s, and now. So they've got that on record. The birds, a lot of birds dropping out of the sky all over the place. I think part of that might be... kind of like a mass hysteria thing. You see it happen, you know, but it got reported and then all of a sudden it just seemed like it picked up speed and every country started reporting bird kills. You had them in Sweden, you had them in Japan, you had them in South America, all over. What I found interesting, though, about this in the United States, and if you were looking at a biological perspective, I'd be asking these questions. I know there was the big one they reported in Arkansas. Then there was another one in Louisiana. There was another one in Kentucky. And they all had the red-winged blackbird and the starlings. That is what's interesting to me. What is affecting these species?
God hates starlings?
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is they don't fly at night. And every time... there's been a kill. In all three instances, it has been at night. So what's causing them to fly at night, for one thing, and what's killing them? You got the trauma, the reporting, the blood clots in the breast and throughout the rest of the body, but they're saying...
I think it's the chupacabra.
It could be.
The flying chupacabra.
Yeah, I think it comes out and scares them when they're sleeping. And they go up and they hit each other and they just die.
Oh, those groups of starlings startle. Have you ever, you know, those things
startle
at the slightest little thing.
Easy to startle, you know. But I just thought that was kind of strange. It seemed like whatever it was is moving east.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is it a weather front? Is it something associated with that? But, you know, it just seemed strange to me that it would affect one species like that, or two. Being redwood blackbirds wouldn't be the same species as a starling, but two species in three different places across the country. I would be asking a lot of questions about that. What's causing this? Why are they doing this and all that? But I don't think, you know, the end is
near enough. I have a theory apropos of nothing, really. So could it be that this is not like my sharks and jets theory. This is actually something that just occurred to me. So I'm probably going to sound like a moron. I wonder if the reason it's these two species is it because they fly at a certain altitude and it could be a high altitude hail.
It's possible, but I don't think – I read something today. It was from one of the ornithologists that was studying it. They don't fly that high. They don't fly enough to get into a high altitude hail. I mean, high altitude hail, you're looking at, 20,000 feet or more. I mean, the stuff will never hit the ground, but it's way up there with the wind, and they don't fly that high.
But it is an El Niño year. Is it El Niño, right. La Niña or El Nino? This year,
no, I think it's La Niña, isn't it?
But with that, aren't there like currents that flow at different altitudes that are weird?
Yeah, you have a lot of that, but you know, it's hard to tell. It could be related to that, and you know, like I said, I got a feeling it's got something to do with the weather, the Arkansas, the fireworks, and all that. You know, probably did startle them, but I don't know what happened in Louisiana and then what happened again in Kentucky. They didn't mention fireworks in any of those, and it was the same group of.
Kentucky, they were
it has to be. Wins. I'm thinking.
So that could just logically.
Yeah, it could.
So,
been.
Jenny, Cheryl, Rick, any of you guys have any differing opinions or?
Well, if I could just jump in there real quick, I mean the idea of fireworks being the culprit, I think this is totally ludicrous. Otherwise, we would have, you know, a massive extinction level event every year on the 4th of July in this country.
Yeah.
That was my point earlier.
It's so stupid. But when you consider where it's happening, you know, Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, I'm thinking probably that their largest meth labs went up and is just killing off all the birds and fish. What I think could possibly be the case is it could be, you know, some kind of sunspot activity that's throwing off their instincts and just making them take a head.
Making them fly randomly into one another or something.
It's possible. I mean, it really
like
is.
Little birdie bumper cars.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I mean, JD, what do you think? Do you think that's a possibility?
It is a possibility, and it's funny you should mention that. There was a large solar flare around December 26th. It affected the magnetic field, and it's possible that could have something to do with it. It's going to take a lot of study. There's a lot of speculation right now going around, and like I said, there's a lot of hype with it. People from everywhere are reporting it.
Now the media loves crap like that.
I know, and that's the thing, you know, and it brings all these people out of the woodwork. I mean, if you go on to any news site and read the comments about these stories and stuff, some of it's pretty entertaining, I gotta admit.
Well, I know, it's like, you know, here in Chicago, whenever there's like a big news story like the weather or whatever, Chicago news broadcasters love to scare the bejesus out of their viewers. I mean, Scotty, you're up in Madison. I think it's pretty much the same thing up there.
It's going to snow!
Oh my God, Stormwatch 2011!
Oh yeah, we get that in Washington too.
Here it comes. Here comes the most snow of the year. 1 inch comes down and there you go.
Yeah, no, we freak out if there's a dusting of snow. We had here, oh gosh, Jenny, when was the big snowstorm that everybody got trapped? It was right before, was it around Thanksgiving?
It was that week of Thanksgiving, but we just had a huge hailstorm up here last week, and the ice just melted today.
It's been really, really, really cold.
Yeah.
You know, for Washington State, we've been doing a lot of whining.
It's been cold. Just, let's say it's just been cold for you. Because it's not been really, really, really cold. That's Wisconsin.
Oh my god, I was in Wisconsin one time over Christmas, and I flew in, and the first thing I saw as we were coming down was about 1,000 trucks driving on frozen lakes. So Wisconsin is a cold, cold place. Holy cow.
Yes, it is.
Oh. Yeah, no,
but not as Minnesota. Minnesota's the worst.
Yeah, it's been in the 20s here, which is cold for us. It's definitely very cold for us.
But you know what? At least in Wisconsin, you got plenty of beer and plenty of cheese.
There you go.
And don't forget clams.
Clams.
And smelt. I understand people in Wisconsin eat smelt, which we use for bait here in Washington.
See, in the old days, now, when I was a kid, we used to smelt fish all the time. And we used to carry these big nets, and we used to sit out on Lake Michigan, and it was something I did with my dad and my uncle, and they used to come in 5-gallon bucketfuls. I mean, we used to just walk out of there with buckets and buckets and buckets of smelt. Now you can go out there all day, and you're only going to get 2 or 3.
Really?
But, it's not as popular anymore, because I think all you guys used them for fishing. No, but actually, the smelt fries were the biggest thing for churches to hold, because they were so abundant and so easy to come by.
Yeah.
You would bread them in. You would take, pancake batter. Yeah. And pancake batter, instead of water, though, you would use beer.
Very good.
And then you would deep fry them.
Okay. Delicious.
Yes.
Well, delicious.
You have something else in Wisconsin that I've always found a little interesting, too, and that would be cheese curds.
Cheese curds are great.
Cheese curds, they squeak awesome. When you eat them, and that's...
Well, only if they're if they're fresh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They call that squeaky cheese.
Well, have you had cheese curds, Jenny?
Well, I've been to Tillamook at the cheese factory, and they have it all over the place.
Yeah, probably. And
they call it squeaky cheese.
Yeah, you don't find cheese curds very often out here in Washington, that's for sure. But when I went to Wisconsin, that was in December, that was the one thing I thought was really awesome about Wisconsin was cheese curds.
You were in Wisconsin in December, Karen?
I was.
Yeah, and Karen didn't even call
me this year.
Or call you.
No, it was like when my kid was a baby. If I was in Wisconsin in December, Rick, I would have called you. And Scotty, I would have called you too. Jeez.
You would have been in deep trouble if that was the case.
This was years ago. So let's move on. So
Curds are still good. So
Cheese curds are good. So there's this new iPhone app, and it's the Ghost iPhone app, and it's you can put a ghost in a picture, and there's this picture that's been circulating the internet, and it's of this. Supposedly, it's a trap camera that captured this Native American girl who's been scalped. And it's, of course, one of the ghosts that you can do from the iPhone app. So we have had somebody emailing it to Cheryl and saying, no, this is real. No, this is real. And we actually sent her the iPhone app. We sent her the picture of the girl, and she still insisted that it was real. So then I took and I actually recreated the picture, and then I put my little ghost next to her little ghost, and then I moved my ghost very slowly over the top of it so it overlaid so that you could see that it was exact. Mm-hmm. And there are still people arguing with me that this is a real thing.
Mm.
What's up with that? Anyone can feel free to take that. Anyone.
Faked.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the longest time, whenever somebody caught a ghost on a cell phone camera, because basically for years you couldn't fake it. Obviously, you can now. So it's like, you know, whenever people got. You know, a ghost photograph on their cell phone. Everybody looked at it like, yeah, hey, this is the real deal. But, you know, hey, thanks to, you know, iPhone or whatever, yeah, it's no longer the case.
Yeah, it's really easy to, but people are still believing it, even when you show them. And that's one of the things that I find maddening, is that even when you can show somebody, hey, look, this is the exact same picture, they still want to believe so badly they want to believe.
Well, that's because people are so willing to commit intellectual suicide these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, it's like the death of common sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, really, the biggest thing is the fact that the people want to be a part of what's going on. So if they can believe in one picture and really go for it, that makes them stand out or be a part of something. And and the other thing is the people that will send you the picture and ask you, hey, what do you think of this picture? And then you tell them, hey, it's bunk, and then they get all pissed off at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now those people, that's fun. I love those guys. And why'd you send it to me? If you totally believe that's a ghost, then go right ahead. That's a ghost to you. Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. But don't ask me, because I'm going to tell you if I think it is or not.
Right, right. Well, and this person asked our opinion. And so we shared it and showed why we thought it was that way. And it was not a happy outcome.
Yes, well, and that's the thing. Jealousy and...
Yeah, and I think a lot of the just slammed so much with ghost stuff now, with all the stuff on TV that everybody wants to say, oh, look, I can do it too, and I can find it. And if those guys on TV can do it, I can do it with my little $2.99 snap camera. I mean, just kind of, I think it's a trend and a fad, and everybody wants to be a part of it.
Well, that's true. But at the same time, what do you think about things like, you know, how easy it is? Because I'm an absolute moron when it comes to making things on Photoshop or that type of thing. And yet I can do these things. So what does that say for the credibility of almost any ghost photo that somebody captures that is not somebody you know? What does it say for the credibility of anything that comes out anymore as far as photographic evidence?
They're just throwing morons. Out the
window. Well, the thing is, it all depends on the belief of you and your team, because that's the only way it ever is. Because no matter what we put out there ever, somebody's always going to say it's not a ghost.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. So it really depends on who you're with and the level of trust of the group or the person, you know, that you're with. Like, for example, Joe Kudo and I, we trust each other 100%, even though he's way on the skeptical side and I'm a medium. So, I mean, we trust each other beyond compare. And if Joe says he heard something, then he heard something. It's the same thing with me. But it's that level of trust that you have to have with the group that you're investigating with. And if you don't have it, then, you know, for those people that say, I'm going to throw it out, that's, you know, I'm not. No, it's probably something. And for you, if somebody in your group you don't trust and gave it to you, then they shouldn't be in your group.
Right.
Here's the thing.
Well, it's basically all you have is your credibility. So
that's all you have in this field. And once you burn that, and once you lose that, then you have nothing else. And that's for all those people that jump on bandwagons and do all this stuff and fake stuff on TV. This is all you got. I mean, all you have is your credibility in this field. And if somebody says, "Oh yeah, I believe Scotty 100%," then everyone's going to, you know, a lot of people are going to say, "Oh yeah, I believe Scotty." You know, then it's credible. But somebody's still going to say, "Oh, Scotty's bullshit." You know, you know, he's not anything. You know, and
he owes me money.
That's just the way it's, you know, the way it is. But, you know, there will always be those people out there that do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
Well, I think that we don't really have anything that is evidence anymore. I think everything is in question. And I think that nobody's going to believe something that they are not a witness to. I'm not going to say nobody. A good percentage of people, I think, won't believe it.
Yeah.
And if they aren't a first-hand witness to. And so that means, do we have evidence? Will we ever? I don't know.
Well, Jenny was far less skeptical about stuff that happened when she was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. After the fact, you know, you sit there and you think about it, and you're like, well, wait a minute, I don't know. But in the moment, you know, I can't discount it completely, but... You know, I still haven't quite had that, like I've told Bert and Jamie before, I haven't had that smack in the face that says, "I am a ghost" yet. So I believe, you know, like Scotty said, you have to have 100% faith in your group. And if you don't, then it's really hard to believe. And it's the whole credibility thing. And I believe that you guys have had your experiences. And I believe that you know, people that in our field that we know are a lot more reliable. And so I kind of tend to give you guys the benefit of the doubt, but I still am waiting for that big smack in the face that says I'm a ghost. I'm not saying that I'm completely on one side or the other of the fence anymore, but you know, it's interesting.
But here's the question for you. I mean, and I know that my partner, Joe, has had many things happen to him, but he still keeps saying, well, that's not it. That's not.
Yeah,
it. You know, I mean, when do you finally say, okay, I've had four of them. This is the one, or you know what I mean? You could do that forever too.
Yeah.
I agree. I think I'm so new at this that I would probably need to have a few more investigations just to get a feel for how everything works in terms of how an actual investigation runs, not just like hanging out in the woods and going, hey, ghosts, I'm here. Come check me out. But
you know what, Jenny, that's a very realistic way, a very realistic way to approach it. I mean, you're definitely not wrong.
Well, of course I'm not wrong, Rick. I mean, come on.
but it's very realistic and it's very objective to approach it like that.
Well, I try to be extremely objective about all of this when I go on these investigations or talk to you guys or anyone who's had an experience, because you know, I can tell you something that's happened to me, just random act in my house, and you can go, yeah, well, that's never happened to me, so that could never possibly ever happen. Well, yeah, it could, you know, so I'm not going to say yes or no, but I need that stuff for me to really go one way or the other.
Well, and as you gain experience, the other thing that happens, and I say this as somebody who, you know, is fairly fledgling, like just a couple years of experience under my belt. You know, I'm not like Rick, who's been doing it since he was born. But so
well, 8 years old, but
yeah, well, close since you were a fetus. But as you gain experience, I think what you find is that your filters become stronger too. So when you first go on an investigation, everything is kind of open to interpretation. And yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, you know, for those of you who have investigated longer than me, but as you go longer, you start to filter more things out because you start to figure things out. Oh, that's just this. Oh, that could be this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chad's here.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Hey.
Hey, Chad.
Yeah, just got home from work.
Oh, at Disneyland? So how's
Mickey and Minnie and all the rest of them?
How's the House of the Mouse?
They're doing good.
Good, good. So, Chad, any truth to any of the rumors about all the haunted things at Disneyland? Like supposedly Walt Disney's apartment is haunted and the Haunted Mansion is actually indeed haunted.
What do you mean? Isn't his head like on frozen and carbonite or something?
I think that might be a rumor.
That's a myth.
No, that's just an online backup system.
Well, I know on 9/11 that there's a light that's inside his old apartment, which is above the fire station, and they leave it on all the time. On 9/11, it went out, and the door's locked. So they opened it up, see what's going on, and turned it back on. Well, then it went off again, and nobody was in there. So it wasn't like the light was blown. It's just somebody turned it off.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
Well, so let's segue from what we were talking about, actually, just a little way. So we were talking about proof and evidence. So everybody here has either had that definitive, you know, oh, this is it moment, or they kind of know what they think it might look like. So I just kind of wanted to go around and find out what everybody's either definitive moment they've had is or what they think it would look like. Chad, you want to start?
Well, personally, I don't think it really matters. I mean, it's just an individual thing. To me, I know ghosts exist. You know, in my mind, they exist. Mm-hmm. What I would be concerned about would be like aliens or something like that. And the definitive moment would be when they actually come down and, you know, reveal themselves to everybody.
Yeah, seeing is believing for you. So, Jenny, do you have any idea of what it would look like for you then if you know, what that oh shit moment is going to be, for lack of a better term?
God, I don't know. I think, you know, like Jamie always says, if it happens, you'll know, and you'll know when it happens. So,
yes.
I think that it's just going to hit me one day, and I don't think I can predict what it's going to be or what I expected or what I want it to be, but I just think that, you know, if it's going to happen, I'm going to know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Scotty, you've definitely had yours being a medium, so what convinced you that the voices that you were hearing or however, do you see or do you hear, or how do you get your medium stuff?
Well, that's why I call myself a medium more than anything. I do see, but I hear all the time. Okay. I mean, I have touches. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing. I'm touched all the time. I feel it on the side of my head or in my hair. And I mean, that's where I get touched a lot. But then I know that then the spirit's near that I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. It's a process for me through my whole life, and I'm still just to the point where I'm finally saying F everybody else. What I hear is what I hear, and I know that it's a ghost, because all my life I've been, for lack of a better word, made fun of, you know, my whole mm-hmm. life.
Right.
Especially in the 60s, being able to hear ghosts, and my parents didn't believe me, you know, my family didn't believe me. My brother still doesn't believe me. It was tough. I mean, it was tough to hear it and shutting down, and it wasn't until college that it started coming back, and now it's way, way crazy.
I think that's common. I think that yeah. shutdown thing is that when people don't believe you and people... you.
Yeah, I've
heard
being
that before
fun of
that
was,
when that happens, being, a lot of times it goes late names. And
I
then comes back.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Scott.
No, that's all right. You know, I mean, it was just the fact that I was so tired of being made fun of.
Sure.
And it wasn't until college where I was in, at college, it was very different because people accepted you for whatever you were, you know. And mm-hmm. and then I did find some people that, you know, we did, you know, I went on ghost hunts and some of the early groups I got to go with. And we did a lot of Ouija board and a lot of stuff that I did. I saw a full body apparition when I was in college. So then I knew I was back on the track and mm-hmm. I knew at least I was open again.
Right.
But I mean, I hear voices. I see shadows. I see people.
Mm-hmm.
I can. I mean, I'm standing. We're down at Trader Joe's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting mm-hmm. some cheese, and I'm in the cheese aisle looking for cheese, and my wife's, I thought, was right next to me. All of a sudden, I feel this hand on my shoulder. I go, "Hi, hon," and then I turn around, and my wife's down two rows.
It's the Trader Joe's cheese ghost.
No.
Exactly. But I mean, I can feel ghosts at Walmart. I mean, anywhere, you know. So to me, yeah. they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
so there are a lot more ghosts walking among us than people would ever realize. You think then?
Yes.
Oh, well, that ought to freak a few people out. Does that mean that I'm never alone and I can't even take a bath without my bathroom being filled with ghosts?
No, most of them don't get into that. It's not.
Most of them don't want to see that anyway.
It's not part of that anymore.
That
I mean,
much.
It really isn't that. That's the human type of
right.
thing, you know. And because you don't have that emotion, you don't have that sex drive there that you
right.
do alive. So that's different.
Yeah. So Rick, you've been doing this, like I say, since you were a fetus. So did you have a moment that, or did you just always believe?
Oh no! I definitely had a moment. I was laying in bed one night, and all of a sudden my eyes opened, and I saw this beautiful female ghost just floating over me. And the next thing I know, she's undoing my pants.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. That was Ghostbusters.
That's Ghostbusters. But that's what I tried.
It's Ghostbusters. No, it was when I was 8 years old. My grandparents lived in this brownstone in Franklin Park, Illinois, which is on the northwest side of Chicago. And I got up to use the bathroom one night, and I know I was awake because, you know, I had to use the bathroom and I was in pain. As I was walking down the hall, my grandmother always left the light on in the bathroom so us kids could find our way. And as I was walking towards the bathroom, all of a sudden the light switched off. And I watched as this elderly woman walked out of the bathroom. At first, I thought it was my grandmother. And then, you know, she turned around and looked at me, and she's, you know, gotten up, you know, no legs below the knees. She's just floating there. And I watched her as she just sort of like turned back around and floated towards the kitchen and disappeared. And, you know, it turns out that not only did I see this spirit, but my uncle Luis saw the spirit as well.
Mm.
And we were able to come to the determination that it was the lady whose husband owned the building that my grandparents lived in. especially the way, because I really only saw her, like, you know, in the darkness, but I knew she was there. Mm-hmm. She kind of had a little bit, I know it sounds kind of cliche and cheesy and lame, but yeah, there was a little bit of a glow to her. Mm-hmm. But when my uncle saw her, he saw her in one of the bedrooms during broad daylight. So he was able to properly describe her, and, you know, we came to the conclusion that it was Mrs. McNett. So
cool. That's cool. That's so, that. JD, have you had the definitive experience? And if you haven't, what would it look like?
I can't say really definitive, but I don't know. I'd have to see. I mean, it would have to take something very, very profound for me to just drop everything, be a true believer and all that. And I'm not a skeptic either. It's like I've said, and I've wrote about this on the website and talked about it in depth, you know, in this field, neither a believer nor a skeptic be, ever. You can't make valid determinations or reach logical conclusions if you're on one end of the spectrum as a skeptic or on the other end of it as a true believer. To me, it biases your opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go into it biased, how can you make proper observations? You're not going to be able to logically think about different aspects of what you're seeing, that type of thing. I've had experiences, you know, like I said, nothing, you know, no full-bodied apparition, nothing like that. Not like a Dickens type setting where, you know, they come, someone's going to get in your face and talk to you, that kind of thing. But I don't know. It would take something. I mean, I've got to see it, just like anybody else, see it to believe it. But, you know, you can, so many things in the paranormal are subtle.
Yes.
And you can get these things, but, you know, you can logically reason them away or...
Yes.
You know, as a skeptic, you can truly believe it's paranormal, as we see a lot too much on TV, in my opinion.
Yeah, really.
And, the fake skeptics.
and say, okay, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. What do we need to look at to make the determination as to what it truly is?
Right.
Now, I don't know. That's me. That's where I'm at all the time. So.
No, I have to agree with that. Being a medium myself, people always ask me when I drive up with a van full of equipment, why would a medium want equipment? Because you can't prove what I say.
Right.
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 Yep.
So, right. But if I say that there's a ghost here and I feel a tug on my pants and you see it on the camera and then you get an EVP all at the same time, while having a video of this, now isn't that an experience?
Yeah,
that's a validation of your of what ability.
I
said.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I do. So as a, but then again, as a medium, I don't run around saying everything's a ghost either. I'm far from that. I'm far from that. But I thoroughly believe that there are spirits, and I would be on the other side of you. And but it's good to have that skeptical side to you, no matter what. I mean, it's good to have a skeptical partner, you know, too. You know, he sees what I see and I see what he sees, you know, so that type of stuff works well, too. It's the best. It's the best when you really pick it apart, and when you've come to a final conclusion that it can be nothing else, then you can call it paranormal.
Yeah, right. I drive myself crazy picking stuff apart, so I know, like, what my husband, Techie McScience Geek, has been incredibly skeptical. And what convinced him actually was three mechanical switches flipping to the other side at the same time while he was standing there, and a couple of other pieces of equipment dying as well. And that's what it took to convince him, because he could not come up with a way or something that would cause three mechanical switches to actually flip themselves, you know, slide themselves over to the other side, to the off position. So.
Right.
That was his. So, Cheryl, what do you think? Haunted chair? Is your haunted chair was that your moment?
No, it actually wasn't. It's a recent moment, but that's not the moment. It's weird because I've had all types of different things happen since I was a young kid, and it had pretty much gone dormant here lately. And so I just thought, well, I'm just not receptive. I'm not open, because I do believe that people who are more receptive, do have more experiences. I think it's probably because a lot of times, and not always, it's very subtle. The paranormal is very subtle. However, mm-hmm. that being said, I think it's not as subtle to a lot of people. And probably the first experience I had, if I'm remembering correctly, was when I saw multiple full-bodied apparitions when I was a young kid, and they were dressed in period clothing. I would say probably the late 1800s. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it just couldn't be explained. I mean, I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't, it was just there. So for me, I have no questions at all. And there's been many other things that I've experienced since then. And most recently, my rotating office
chair,
which Rick loves. Yeah. So,
well, maybe it's just me, but I know that if I go for a period of time and I've had all of these things that I've been like, okay, I've seen full-bodied apparition, and I've heard mm-hmm. voices that aren't, that are clearly, there's nobody there. I've had all of those experiences, and I do believe ghosts exist. But when I go for a period of time where there's not anything, I actually mm-hmm. start to think, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was crazy. And then I have to actually go back and listen to some of those EVPs that I've captured to convince myself again.
Yeah, that's normal. I still do that, even after everything I've seen. I still think maybe it's not what I thought it was. Maybe it's natural. It's normal.
Well,
I do that too. I mean, I have the same thing, and it's kind of weird because I have, as a medium, I have spirit guides that help me, and I get in fights with them. Mm-hmm. And
That doesn't make you look crazy or anything when you're sitting at the McDonald's,
fighting with my spirit guide.
Yeah.
Would you stop looking at me?
One night, I just said to him, I said, F this, and I just went off. And I said, you're not freaking real, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I said, if you do it, you would slam the door. Next thing you know, whop, the door went. And I went, okay, you're real. Never mind. and that was the end of the fight. I was just like, okay, you won. I'm done.
See, that's what I need. I'm in one of my skeptic phases right now. So I need I need one of the ghosts to do something like that. Slap me across.
It's funny when it happens. I mean, and there's some nights when you're just down, and all of a sudden you'll hear footsteps coming across the hall. And go, okay, it's all good. They're still there. So,
I was just going to say that, the whole idea of witnessing anything paranormal, I mean, let's face it, this has been with mankind for, hundreds of thousands of years.
Ever.
It's been a part of the human experience. And, sometimes I've wondered, like with your abilities, Scotty, with, being a medium, it kind of makes me wonder if that's could actually be an evolutionary thing, going back to the days when, mankind was out hunting mammoths or whatever, and they had to run for their lives from a saber-toothed tiger. That it's just it's kind of like an advanced fight or flight.
What my wife and I talk about is the fact that she would like to have brain scans done of me when I'm doing my stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to see
what I hope you're talking about the medium thing, because the
that's gross. Other kind of stuff.
That's gross. Never mind. But actually see how my brain functions differently
mm-hmm.
when I'm talking to spirit and when I'm not, and what part of the brain actually does that. I've read and studied. I mean, you talk about oracles. There have been oracles for years and years and years. Even back, just past Christ, I mean, they talk about oracles and before them. And, so there's been people that have had the ability all along. And what makes it different for me to hear it more than everybody else? What part of my brain is different than yours that I hear it. And that's something that always boggles my mind, or that, you know, and I've always said, you know, like I use dowsing rods. And dowsing rods could be one of three things. It could be either your motor response, and or they could be PK. You know, actually, my brain using my body and PK making those things move, or they can be ghosts, or the fourth way they can be. I can be faking them,
right?
Yeah. And so everybody knows me. I'm not faking them. So I always say it's either a ghost or PK. And if it's either one of those, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's mind can actually move objects, hey, I'm going to do more of that. You know, that sounds like fun. You know what I mean? But it's like, but what makes it different? I mean, what makes me able to do that that others don't?
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, it's kind of neat to think about.
Another thing that I kind of, you know, have been wondering about what makes it, you know, possible for people like us, Scotty, is, you know, the whole idea of dark matter, you know, this thing that allegedly keeps, you know, the universe together. Is it, could it be like a force thing, that there's some kind of force in the universe?
Scott, it's the force.
You know, well, I'm not trying to be cheesy here.
Damn it, you know, Captain, but I don't got enough power. She ain't going to work.
Yeah, it's midichlorians in the bloodstream.
My dilithium crystals,
No, but I mean, is there something that flows through the universe, you know, dark matter or whatever, that makes it possible for the medium, psychic, clairvoyant, whatever, to pick up on what other people can't?
Yeah,
it's possible.
I think it's quantum.
It could be.
Yeah. I think, because actually, you know, one of the things that quantum entanglement is actually, I think, what the explanation for it is. And I will make everybody fall asleep if I try to explain it. But look up quantum entanglement and see if it doesn't just make you think, well, that would maybe make sense as far as psychics go.
I have a question, though. But can that explain the intelligent interaction, quantum mechanics?
Sure.
It can, okay. Sure.
I think the universe is extremely intelligent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that what they're discovering in quantum mechanics, just real briefly so that I don't kill everybody's brains, is that, yeah, I know.
I fell asleep already just when you said quantum mechanics.
I know, it's so boring. What they're discovering in quantum mechanics is weirder than what we see in the paranormal. I mean, when you look at things that they're actually finding in a science, it's more paranormal appearing than paranormal things. So you tell me, could it be quantum mechanics? I think it could.
I think that one day we're all going to discover just how normal the paranormal really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's not going to be fun anymore, and then we'll all just be like psychiatrists.
Yeah, I know, right?
Helping ghosts out. Hey, okay, whatever.
tell you what, guys, let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk during the break about what we're going to talk about next, and we can democratically decide. So if you're just joining us, this is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, and we're having a roundtable discussion with Chad Wilson, Jenny Brown, Scotty Rourke, Rick Hale, J.D. Harrison, and Cheryl Knight. And I'm Karen Frazier, and we will be back in just a minute.
Excellent. Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at paranormalunderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit paranormalunderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ZTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. No, that's coming up later. The monkey spank.
Man.
Scotty is going to identify the monkey spank for you. That's what he has promised this evening, Rick.
Yes, I promise I will.
That's right.
I will definitely tell you what it is.
So welcome back, everybody. It's Paranormal Underground Radio, and we're having a roundtable discussion. And we very diplomatically decided that our very next topic is going to be equipment pet peeves. And Scotty had one to start us off. Mm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The one that I'm just totally over is that damn flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put the flashlight out and let's talk to the flashlight.
Yeah.
Excuse me, flashlight. Please turn on. I am a flashlight. I'm turning on. You know, that's the other thing that really ticks me is when I see paranormal investigators talking to ghosts like babies.
Oh, God, yeah.
Get the freak over it. They're humans. Just talk to them normal.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves, too.
Oh, God, it drives me nuts.
Is there anybody here who would like to communicate with us?
Mm.
Yes.
What is your name?
Yeah.
Just be, I've always thought, just like, be conversational with people when with the spirit when you're doing an EVP session, because chances are they do have something that they want to convey. There is a message, but they're not, hey, do you think that you could, you know, make this ball move or whatever? It's so ridiculous. Just talk to them like they're people.
All I know is if I was a spirit and somebody talked to me like that, I'd slap them upside the head.
Me
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's nuts. The other thing is I try to do, every time I do an EVP session, I use my dowsing rods. I mean, mm-hmm. since we're talking about gadgets, mm-hmm. And those are ancient gadgets, but they're mm-hmm. still gadgets. But we're able to see, and then all our questions are in yes and no, because a lot of times we can get spirits to say yes or no very easily. Mm-hmm. So if you can, then we try to record it with a camera or a camcorder. That way you can see a yes, and then if you hear a yes, then you got two responses.
Yeah, very good.
Very true, yeah.
Very good. So,
just trying to repeat, you know, because all of the scientists say you need to repeat. Well, that's a good way to repeat. You got it happening twice.
There you go. Repeatable.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Genius. So, Chad, do you have any equipment pet peeves?
Well, it's just, like the EMF, I mean, we don't really know what produces that or why.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be more research done to try to determine that, so we can, you know, going forward, we can say, well, you know, this is why this happens, you know. Because I've had instances where, you know, high EMF, you know, associated with a haunted place, you know. But, mm-hmm. you know, what causes that?
Right. Right.
Yeah, it could be naturally occurring.
Any EMF detectors in particular, Chad, or just all of them?
Well, we just got us a meltmeter, and I like it. But I had a tri-field, regular tri-field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you can actually make it move if you jerk it too hard.
Yeah, I have a tri-field now. Oh, God, that's what she said. Sorry. Yeah, I just got it. okay, so Jenny, you can follow Chad up now. Any pet peeves that you don't want to jerk too hard?
K2.
Yeah. Pretty much all of that stuff that they use, I mean, I've only experienced a couple little things, but I think that some of the stuff they show you on TV, like, I'm not too convinced by the word generator stuff. How in God's name can that work? I don't, maybe it's just because I'm a technological idiot, but I just don't get that. That one, I don't like when they bring that one out. I think that one's kind of gay.
Okay.
Scotty, did you?
I mean, kind of stupid and not neat.
That got somebody fired recently.
That's right. You be careful with that, please. So, Scotty, you had something else to say. I think I heard you coughing.
Yeah. Actually, the word generators, I mean, and the boxes and stuff like that, I'm still out on it, but I've had some crazy experiences with them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
We were at Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky.
And
thank you.
You're my hero. I want to go there.
Oh, by far, it's probably next to Sloss Furnace the most haunted place I've ever been in. Seriously.
Dude, my wife actually made me promise never to go to Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, then I'm sorry for you, because it's off the effing wall. It's just crazy. Love it.
Yeah. She doesn't need to know, Rick. Go on, Scotty.
One night the night we were there, we had two Ovilus running, we had a Hackbox running, and we had and we were using my dowsing rods all in one. And all night long, we were getting words that wasn't programmed in. We were actually with some of the guys from the Ghost Adventure crew, the crew that's on the show, like the Billy that does their EVPs and stuff. He actually went to the investigation with us, so we were able to use some of the Ghost Adventure's gear. So we were able to use that video random, generator. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of times they were matching with what I was saying. Within a second or two, it would say a name that I came up with, or, you know, that type of stuff. So it could be coincidence, but it was pretty cool. One time we heard where the real thing was, is we were getting words that weren't in the thing. Like, it was calling me a bastard.
I've heard of that happening before, yeah.
It was calling me a dick, and, you know, it was calling me all these types of names like that all night long. That it was going to kill me.
Scotty, come on.
Yeah, I am, though, but still.
Well, I had one. It was not an ovilus, but it was a digital dowsing gadget, and it's the talker box. And I had, my son said, "Are you Italian?" And that box said, "Not Italian." I have it recorded, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Yep. So,
and then we heard at night too, we heard randomly a disembodied voice saying F you to me. And then less than 5 seconds later on the hack box, you hear it again.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the thing. And all the haters of the hack box out there and Frank's box and all that stuff say that it's radio waves. Where in God's green earth, other than internet radio, can somebody swear and say F you on it?
Right.
So for me to get an F you off the radio, that's something different.
Or somebody lost their job.
Right.
right. So, you know, Rick, do you have any, did we already ask you your equipment pet peeves? I've forgotten now.
Well, it's really not that I have an equipment pet peeve. I have an equipment lack of using pet peeve. I I've actually, touched on this before. I don't like the fact that people who have mediumistic or psychic abilities are kind of sort of left out in the cold when it comes to, you know, especially American television. You know, in England, you get that with Most Haunted. But it just seems like there is a general lack of distrust for people who have psychic ability. And, you know, if you're going to maintain balance.
You're my hero. I love you.
Well, no, I really do think that.
Seriously,
I
agree.
Yeah, it is, because it's like, if you're going to maintain balance in the universe and you're going to say that there's such thing as a ghost, obviously there has to be people who are able to, you know, contact these spirits. So I really think that, you know, that Big Daddy Hawes and Granty Pooh, you know, they need to shut the hell up when it comes to, oh, well, we don't trust mediums, because you know what? In a couple of those books, Big Daddy Hawes is actually confessed to being a medium. So, it's like a self-hating medium.
My point is, I mean, can I trust you now that you pulled your coat down? Okay, let's go. Let's go head to head here, buddy. You know what I mean? But my point is, I mean, when I do an investigation as a medium, and since we're into this topic, I don't run around the place like the showboat. That's not my deal. I will take a book and I'll write things down. And then I will write things down, even if I'm not getting anything, so people around me aren't influenced by what I'm doing.
Oh, very good.
Right.
You're clever.
Yeah.
So sometimes I write, this is a bull crap line, you know, and I write in there, or I make something up. I go, oh, boy, you look ugly. You know, it's just me writing stuff that just so people, you know, think I'm writing or I'm getting something. And then if somebody goes, oh, yeah, I feel something too. No, because I just wrote, you know, I want to go get a Big Mac, you know. It's like, right. Sorry,
well,
dude.
Who doesn't?
You know? Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's that type of things that you can do as a medium or as a group that has mediums to help. It should be, Joe and I say this all the time, and I say it on my show. I say it everywhere on this network. A medium is another tool in your paranormal belt. Period.
A medium is another tool. Sorry.
Seriously. Yeah.
I know.
Absolutely. I think
just one more device to use. You know, you use a hack box, you use a medium, you use dowsing rods, you use an EMF reader, you use a camcorder. It's just one more piece into the whole puzzle.
Right. Right. And still, it maintains that balance. And if we, I definitely think that I've actually met some paranormal groups who are. Down, you know, they were, you know, well, we founded our paranormal group back in 2007. Well, really, that's because, you know, the D&D session was pretty boring on a Wednesday night and you decided to watch sci-fi. But it's like these groups are actually, they're downright hostile to the idea of using anybody who has psychic abilities. And, you know, one of these days we need to get away from that and, you know, get back to what the godfathers of, you know, paranormal research used, being Hans Holzer, Maurice Gross, and Harry Price. And,
that was a good Freudian, huh?
There you go. He doesn't get much sleep. You know, he's got a new baby.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's we need to get back to maintaining that balance in the paranormal community and field.
Sure. Okay. So, real quickly, because somebody just in the chat room just asked about Ouija boards, and we're getting there, but I wanted to give JD and Cheryl a chance to list any equipment pet peeves that they might have.
Well, I don't have any pet peeves, really, because I don't use it a lot. But what I find really cool is that the Ovilus and gadgets like that, because I've heard of some really impressive results. Mm-hmm. So I would myself like to test that out here one of these days.
Yeah, come visit me.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you guys come on up. So how about you, JD?
Oh, boy. It's like I'm walking on eggshells here. equipment. I've wrote about this in depth. Chad, Cheryl, Karen, you guys know that. And you know how I feel about it. The paranormal is not quantified. That's a big scientific word that means we can't weigh it, we can't measure it, we can't touch it, we can't analyze it, we don't know what it is, we don't know what causes it, we don't know.
How you can't can use the scientific method with it.
Yeah, and how can you use any equipment to detect it if you don't know what you're looking for? The only thing we can use the equipment for, and we need to use the equipment for, is to look for correlations and investigations, such as, this is just an example, if you've got an array set up of EMF sensors and digital recorders and thermal temperature, things like that, and say you get an EMF at the same time you get, or an EVP, the same time you get an EMF spike and a temperature drop, that could be a correlation. Your next question would be, what caused that? Then you start looking at those things. But you see people going around and they're waving all this different equipment and they're going here and they're going there with it and they're making these claims. That is why the field of paranormal science is considered a pseudoscience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People cry out loud because scientists look down upon them and they don't take or respect anything they're doing. It's because they're not doing anything.
See, but that's it. I embrace my pseudoscience. I lie about it all the time. It's like, yeah, I know it's a pseudoscience. I know
I'd like to see more in investigation, though, with the field coming up to like that type of ideology. That's sure. What it's going to take. Mm-hmm. It can be done. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of investigation, and it's going to take a lot of study. But, you know, it's things like that. What's it called? They put the penny in it.
Oh, so the K2 meter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is like, it is so oversensitive. I mean, people don't know their equipment. It's an EMF meter that is so oversensitive. It can pick up cell phone signals from a mile away.
Yeah, we've seen that happen. They're crazy sensitive.
You know, it's like, so what can you tell about that?
Not much.
What can you tell? Yeah.
Nothing.
Not much.
But they lead. Different people would lead you to believe they're getting logical communications from spirit world based on that, because they're saying, light it up and lighten it up. It's lighting up.
Why they lead some people to believe that. Other people don't believe it first.
Unfortunately, at the beginning of this, not unfortunately at the beginning that this happened, but unfortunately as a point, at the beginning we talked about people who believe and people that don't. Like the example you used was with the iPhone application.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get that. Those people that believe, that type of thing is just going to reinforce that.
Yeah.
And no matter what you put in front of them or try to tell them logically, they are going to deny it because of it. That is not helping the field at all.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what?
And that's just my opinion. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, JD. And, you know, you touch on the whole science thing. And that's what I love about, you know, a lot of the television shows and people in the paranormal field today. It's like, you know, oh, yeah, it's all about the science. We use science. We're scientists. And it's like, you know, really? Did you get, like, your degree from MIT or are you a physicist or whatever? No, you more than likely probably work the you know, drive through at McDonald's.
They do enjoy some good science fiction.
You know, don't get me wrong. You don't have to be a scientist to do this.
No, not at all.
You just have to understand the scientific method and the way things need to be approached in any investigation. That's all. That's all you need. You don't need a degree. You don't need to go to, you know, MIT and all that. You don't need all that. You just need to understand that. And nobody does. They go out and they buy the latest, greatest equipment based on claims, like I've mentioned, and they take it into an investigation and they come away with what? They talk about the equipment. Oh, man, that performed. I got some really weird stuff on that. What did you prove?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
You may as well just, you know, bring a vibrator on an investigation.
That's right. You know.
Well, who says I don't, Rick? Who says I don't?
I believe you do, Karen.
I have one with me right now, by golly.
Just you guys just hush. I go on investigations with her, so I don't need that image in my head.
Oh, my God. I'm going to put something in my pocket next time, Jenny, and I'm going to make it buzz every time I walk by.
That's just weird.
Oh, it's just Karen.
So it's just me. I know. So let's talk about Ouija. Oh, wait. Just real quick about
science and the field. You know, for years, everyone says that their scientists don't believe in what we're doing. And unfortunately, that's not true either. We just had a scientist on The Buzz just a couple weeks ago that thoroughly made the point for a creator, for God. And he wrote a whole book on this. And he said he's surprised how many people in the field actually have given him positive reviews and told them that they believe, and they're in the scientific world too. So, you know, for everyone that says all scientists don't believe in God, that's bull.
Yeah.
There's many people out there that say that it just enhances what the science is. And there's many points to, especially in his book, there was many points to how it actually does. He does give points on how it matches science. Yeah. So it's like, okay, let's not go there because, you know, people say, oh, we're saying science. Well, it is to a degree. I mean, but the people that are running around trying to get scared, that's not science. So don't even start right there. No.
Well, you know, not to open my big quantum physics can of whoop-ass again, but honestly, I think that quantum physics and spirituality are working at proving God from different directions, but they're going to meet in the middle. So,
but didn't Albert Einstein actually have a mathematical theorem that proved the existence of God?
Well, Einstein has a view of God, and the Einsteinian view of God is that God is everything. God is the perfection in nature. It's what underlies everything. Einstein's view of God was very scientific.
Yeah.
But,
and not to mention very Buddhist as well.
Mm. Yeah. Now, see, I'm a deist. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. And there's a lot of my colleagues that are deists, and they're not ashamed to admit it. And like Scotty said, you know, a lot of scientists feel that by believing in God or a creator, and it might not be the Christian God.
Right. I'm not saying
your
that.
Idea or not, you know, the basic idea of God that a lot of people have, but they still believe in a greater power. And that's the thing. And it enhances. It does. It enhances what you do, how you do it, and that type of thing. It makes you, you know, better all around like that. But I don't know. Like I said, to get back to that, I just feel that a better scientific approach needs to be used in investigations. And I'd like to see more people trying to implement that a little bit more. I mean, it's exciting. An investigation's exciting. You never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you experience these things, and it's your entire body's senses are heightened. And it's awesome. But what do you do with what you found? That's just it. Nobody's doing anything with it.
Well, that's it. I want to experience in the moment. Later, because in the moment I don't really give a crap about the science because I'm caught up in the wonder of something happening. So I understand what you're saying. So hey guys, speaking of science, let's talk Ouija boards.
That's totally scientific.
Totally. So I have, of course, an interesting Ouija board story about what happened up at Wellington, because of course, you know, all of my stories are this one time at band camp. I mean, at Wellington. So, we were up there early in the season, and we were playing with a Ouija board, or whatever you call it, with the Ouija board. And we were trying to ask the name of the person who sang in the parking lot. And, two of us were touching it, and we were like actually not even looking at it. And we kept the, if you listen to our conversation and somebody filmed it, it's pretty ridiculous, because about 90 minutes of it's 90 minutes of us going, are you moving it? I'm not. It sure feels like you're moving it. That must be you. You're doing it. No, it's not me. So, but anyway, so as we're having this conversation and looking around and trying to find, and it's moving, it spells out the letters G E R T. And we say, is it Gertrude? And it goes to yes. And that's the lady who apparently sings in the parking lot. Well, I'm for some reason, I was totally thinking, no, that's not right. There was an older religious lady up there. Her name was Sarah Covington. That's who I think sings in the parking lot. So I had had this psychic reading for the magazine, and so that I could write an article about it. And it was, some of it was about, well, all of it was about Wellington. So I came home, and I'd had it several months ago, and I looked back through and looked at this psychic reading, and it said, I said, who's the lady who sings in the parking lot? And the psychic said, I'm getting a really religious vibe. She calls out Gertrude. And I thought, okay, did I somehow remember that without remembering that? And even though I wasn't looking at the board, make it spell it out, even though I wasn't moving it or making it, or, you know, is that something? So what do you guys think about Ouija boards? I'm still kind of on the fence, but that was an interesting experience.
Well, I mean, how dangerous can it be? It says Parker Brothers on it.
Well, I don't think they're dangerous.
Right?
Yeah.
And they come in pink, so.
Yeah.
They do, I know, and they glow in the dark and stuff.
Yeah, and apparently they can set themselves on fire, you know, like that
Paranormal movie. Activity.
Paranormal
that
Activity.
That was the coolest Ouija board ever. I want one of those.
Yeah,
that
it was.
Pretty awesome.
You know, there's, you know, I was just going to say that there's always been talking boards. There's always been ways of, you know, attempting to contact the other side, you know, oracles, the Oracle of Delphi or whatever. But the Ouija board can definitely trace its origins loosely back to ancient Babylon. And I believe that there is mention of it in the Epic of Gilgamesh. I'm not going to, put myself 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure there is. But, you know,
did they call it the Ouija board?
No, they didn't call it the Ouija board, but it was like an oracle or talking board or whatever.
It was an oracle of divination.
Yeah, it was divination
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if, with the whole thing of, you know, with it being dangerous to people's souls, I don't think so.
No, well, because if that's true, then EVPs are dangerous to people's souls too.
Right, because EVP can be seen as a form of divination.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So...
Well, here's my opinion on it. Once again, it is, I've seen people take spirits home that they didn't want to take spirits home, that they've opened, that people, what I'm more worried about is the people that want to play at a game and then all of a sudden get spirits in their house. Because as any divination tool does, it can work. And it's like everybody asked me, so Scotty, how do the spirits know that you can hear them or see them? Or I said, well, it's like a barber pole, and everybody knows that I'm a barber, so they come to me. You know, it's similar to that. I mean, it's similar to the same thing. You see a Ouija board, you start playing with it, a spirit sees it, and I can come through, talk, and then I'm going to stay.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do it, I've seen it on hack boxes. I knew a person that had a hack box that would turn on itself on and off. Well, because they want to come through. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is it something the wise to play with? No, it's not anything wise to play with. But is it going to damn you to Satan's hell? No.
No.
It's not going to make your head spin around and make you vomit.
No, it's not going to do that stuff. But if you're afraid of ghosts and you don't want one to come in your house and somebody that you don't know, you know, because most spirits that people have in their house are people they know. But if you want spirits that you don't know come in your house, start playing with that and open it up. And I mean, I close my hack box sessions and my mini box sessions out all the time. And I make sure that it's closed, the connection, so it doesn't continue. Same thing with my dowsing rods.
How do you do that?
Well, I always ask the person, because there's somebody that helps you through It should be helping you through on the other side, bringing the spirits to it. You ask them to close the connection, and you will always hear a close or shut or stop.
Oh, good to know.
And when you hear that, then you know that session's over, and you can turn off your radio. And a lot of times, I ask, like, there's nights when I don't get much on my Hackbox sessions, or so I ask, do you want me to stop? And you'll usually hear a yes.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, now it's time to close then. And then you hear close, and then they're ready to be done too.
Yeah. So, I'm going to have to mess with that with my little
hack. Yeah, try it, because yeah, cool. Let me know what it is. But yeah, that's what happens. I mean, but there's people that go out there, and, you know, I call them the ghost hunters, not the paranormal investigators. But they go out there.
Yes. Thank you, Scotty. There is a vast difference. But
oh, there is. Big go ahead. Yeah. Anyway.
And then there are the ghost adventurer. No, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. No, but I mean, there are a difference between the two. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the other one, mm-hmm, but it just state that's what you are. Because as you were mentioning earlier, the fact, if you want a scientific procedure to it, you're an investigator, because you want to try to get the same thing over and over and over again. Karen, I know you guys go up to that same place, because mm-hmm, when we had you on the show, you go over and try to get the same type of things happening. Mm-hmm. We have a cemetery that we do over and over and over again, and we try to get the same voices, and we have been, and we've been getting very similar results. Well, to me, that's as close to science as I'm going to get in this field.
Yep,
because I am repeating stuff in a cemetery, and I can repeat it a year from now. I did that once. I was at a cemetery in Kentucky a year apart. I got two EVPs that sounded identical a year apart.
Perfect.
To me, that's a scientific approach, and it's a scientific thing that I could get it to happen twice
a year apart. I actually think investigation groups need a place like what we have at Wellington, or like you have at the cemetery that you go to, where they can go back and back and back, because that's how you refine techniques and that's how you learn things. And so
I agree. And it's a way you can hone your scientific approach, because the more you can get into one place and you try the same things over and over and over again, and then you start bringing new things in and then trying that over and over and over again and seeing what kind of responses you're getting, and matching the personal experiences of what happened before to this one, you know, you all of a sudden you start building a whole case for something paranormal. But it's the guys that want to go out to my cemetery, which they can because it's an open one, they can go out there one night and try to get scared, that it's not going to do them anything good. Oh, yeah, we saw something. Yeah, who cares?
Right.
What was it? How
Scotty,
was it?
Just,
what caused it?
Just to touch on something there, you know, You made the comment that that was as close as you could get scientifically.
Yeah.
You could actually go a step further very simply. If you're doing that over and over and over, next time, every time you go, record weather conditions, temperature, humidity, any kind of environment, the time. Any kind of environmental factor that you can think of, and when you get those repeats, look for similarities. See if something's similar, and then go from there. Go back on those times when the temperature is the same, the weather conditions are the same, the humidity, that type of thing is the same, and see if it repeats again.
You know,
and then
I agree. That's awesome, because the one night that we had the least amount, when it was rainy, the temperature was different.
Water seems to make a difference, actually.
We
didn't get anything that night, but the other nights are all very similar within temperature, humidity, and stuff, and we get very similar stuff.
Interesting.
But when it's rainy or really foggy or stuff like that, we tend not to get as much.
See, that's very simple to do. Just do that and look for comparisons and see. And then you know.
Yeah, I actually want to take a break, and that actually leads perfectly. I'm sorry everybody didn't get to weigh in on Ouija boards, but that leads perfectly into the next thing I want to talk about when we come back from our break. And that's how you think certain atmospheric conditions might affect paranormal activity, like an earthquake or a thunderstorm. So think about that, and we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about that. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Do I get to talk about Spanky Monkey?
Yes.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The competition has taken no notice.
Oh my God!
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Scotty, what was it?
That's his monkey spank, right?
That is a monkey spank, yes. Oh, it's the monkey spank. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground with the Z-Talk Radio Monkey Spank, everybody. We're having our big, long lightning round tonight, although we decided we'll do like a little 15-minute lightning round at the end. So we have with us Scotty from The Buzz. We have, of course, the star of the show, Rick Hale. We have our science editor, J.D. Harrison. We have our publisher, Chad. Oh, my God, Chad, I almost called you Chad Knight. Chad Wilson. And then we have our editor-in-chief, Cheryl Knight. And I'm just the chick that talks a lot.
Hey.
Oh, and Jenny Brown!
Thank you.
Downtown Jenny Brown. Jenny, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's everybody right. forgets
She's a skeptic. Nobody cares.
Oh, she's that's right. It's true. Nobody believes in me.
So let's talk about atmospheric conditions and if you think that they affect activity, because one of the things that happened recently is that there was an earthquake in New Zealand, and after that earthquake several New Zealand groups reported that there was an uptick in people who called for paranormal things. So I want to know, do you think that things like earthquakes or thunderstorms affect the paranormal? And let's start with the one I forgot, downtown Jenny Brown. Jenny?
Yeah. Do they affect? I don't know. I don't know. I can't even begin to answer that.
Well, see, that's why I snubbed you. Okay. So, Chad, what do you think?
Jenny, you suck. No.
Yeah, I know.
That'll be one of the lightning round questions. Does Jenny suck? So, Chad, what do you think?
Well, I think anytime you put any kind of energy into the environment, you know, there's liable to be some kind of, especially cause and effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. Very good. All right. So, Scotty.
Oh yes, definitely.
Definitely. Okay. Hey, okay. We're in the lightning round early, I guess. Rick.
Well, I think when it comes to, anything that, puts out an electrical pulse, earthquakes, anything like that, there's definitely a naturally occurring electricity, electromagnetic flux, whatever. I am of the mind that actually fuels paranormal phenomenon. So if there's something that is laying dormant or flux capacitor, thank you, Jenny. If there's anything that's dormant, as is the case with a lot of paranormal activity, that those kind of things can and do wake it up. Okay. So that's definitely what I think.
Okay, JD, what do you think?
1.21 gigawatts.
The paranormal, like was mentioned before, has been with us as a human race forever. It's chronicled. It was some of the first things that were written about. And even we read ghost stories and accounts and things like that, and it's always a dark and stormy night. Mm-hmm. And you see, it seems like there is an increase of reported paranormal activity during thunderstorms. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about this a lot recently.
You said...
I don't know where I'm going with it, but I've thought about it. But you know how, I'm wondering, with that interaction, the electricity in the air, buildup of static, if static electricity doesn't have something to do with paranormal activity and that type of thing. You hear people talk about the hair standing up on the back of their neck, mm-hmm. on their arms, their hand, mm-hmm. just before they're either touched or they hear a voice or they see an apparition, that type of thing. And it always seems to be similar in all these reports, and it seems that that increases during thunderstorms. So I think it's possible. It's very possible. Earthquakes, I'm not sure. I've never been in an earthquake. I know I have friends in New Zealand.
You've never been in an earthquake?
Well, yeah, I was, but it really wasn't an earthquake. It just kind of shook the coffee cup on the table. Okay. Didn't count.
It was like a South or Midwest earthquake. Is that what you're saying?
I've never
like
been in an earthquake. Never.
You guys have tornadoes instead, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first ghost hunting storm chaser.
Hey! So, you
know, I'm creating my own show, by the way.
Very good.
And I'm going to be the first medium to stand out there and talk to the tornadoes as they come by.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. No, but now here's the thing that I know Ken W. from On Past Your Bedtime, and him and I have talked about this before. We would like to, and we know we'll never be able to do this, but take a haunted site that you know is 100% haunted. Everyone that goes in there says it's haunted, okay? And mm-hmm. then take an electromagnetic pulse bomb and set it off in that place and see if all the activity goes away.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a positive ion generator is what I was thinking about trying.
You take everything out. You take all the, you know, it disables all the electronic devices. It disables everything electronic in that space, and then do a paranormal investigation to see if anything happens, or does that go away then too?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it would be awesome. Remember those when you were a kid and you would like go to those science shows and there'd be that big static ball thing and somebody would touch it and their hair would stand up? That's what you need.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
Yes, the static generators are probably what they are, I would imagine.
You may as well use a lava lamp, too.
People use Tesla coils.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the other thing I've seen people use are those little plasma balls as a way of communication, which are kind of interesting, too. Those, you know, the where you just get even close to them and it follows your hand. Mm-hmm. So I've seen people use those, too. So, okay. So, Cheryl, we haven't asked you yet.
Yes. What are you asking me?
That's why I had a long pause because I...
Damn it, Cheryl.
I forgot the question. I was hoping you remembered. I was trying to fake my way through. Do you think that events like earthquakes and pressure?
Yeah. I do. I think, pretty much, I think the same as Chad, that the energy can create some unusual happenings. And I think that could probably be the source of a lot of paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I wanted to talk about unconventional tools that you've seen used. I know.
I've known some unconventional tools.
I know. I just, you know, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was thinking, oh God.
And you've been making fun of me all night, and you've been saying even more than me.
Known some conventional douches.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I was talking about that plasma ball, for instance, that is an unconventional tool. So one of the things that I would love to see is one of those metal pin arts where you push your hands in it and it makes like the
I have one of those.
I think we need to take it on an investigation, Jenny, and show them how to use it and then leave a camera on it and just leave it.
Well, remind me, and I'll go hunt it down at my parents, and I'll bring it.
Awesome. Right. Okay, so that's kind of my unconventional tool, other than, of course, the vibrator that I'm going to carry in my pocket now to freak Jenny. So, Chad, how about you? Have you seen anything
kind of... Is this show always this dirty?
Oh, my God, yeah. This is clean.
This is clean.
I must be here. That's why, huh?
This is clean. We're being really clean tonight. So, Chad...
That's because Bert's not here.
I know, Bert's not here. Bert hasn't been feeling
well. Oh, my God, if Bert was here...
I know. So it would be all
Have
over.
You been reading the chat room?
He's in the chat room.
Bert's representing in the chat room, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Chad, what have you seen unconventional that's been used, or what have you used?
I've heard of people using compasses.
Mm-hmm.
I use a compass.
Yeah.
Me too. It's
supposed to pick up fields.
Me too.
Yeah, okay. How about you, Jenny?
Ask me again. I have to think.
Anything unconventional that you've seen or considered using on an investigation?
No.
You're relatively new to it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of what would be out there because I haven't seen enough of what you use. So I don't, I mean, all I see is what they have on TV and some of the stuff that we've used. But I can't think of anything that would be unconventional. My Wii, I guess. Let's do that. Let's take my Wii out on an investigation.
Oh, so Scotty, what do you think?
I like to use baby powder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I use salt.
In the same way that you use baby powder?
Yeah, very similar. I will set objects in salt. So then you can see the movement in salt if something's moving. Like we did a bar and I salted the whole top of the bar and put glasses on it. You're able to see the glasses move.
Okay. Yeah, but isn't salt supposed to be protective?
Yeah, that's only sea salt.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was like...
Not iodine salt, no.
There was this long pause, and I thought, oh my God, is that something that they do in Twilight or something?
No, they do it on Supernatural.
Oh, do they? I've never seen that show. So, yeah, so...
I don't either. That's kind of weird. That's cool.
And I thought Ghost Hunters was stupid.
Hey.
No, You know what? I actually know somebody who claims to be an expert in the paranormal because of what they see on Supernatural.
I believe it. They get into some pretty heavy stuff on that show, let me tell you. So, I just love it because he's hot.
I've never seen it all. Have to
Thank
watch
you.
It.
I appreciate it.
Are you on
Oh, you're talking about the show, not me.
So, Rick, how about you? Have you used anything unconventional when you've investigated?
Cigarette lighter.
Like at a concert?
I have one.
Like at a concert. If you're in a room that's, totally static and there's no breeze or whatever blowing through, you can actually ask the spirit to move the flame one way or the other or completely blow it out.
Okay, yep. Very good. Yeah, okay.
The same thing as candles. You can use candles.
Yeah, like or candles, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I was just going to say that.
Well, so JD, is candles yours or do you have something else?
Candles was mine, and the reason behind it was in some of the old folklore, especially the Celtic folklore, British Isles and things, one of the big detectors, I guess you could call it an early spirit detector, was a candle. And they said that when the candle burned blue, a spirit was near. So
I just always thought that was when the candle burned blue, it meant my husband had eaten beans.
That's probably what happened.
Oh, I kid Techie McScience Geek, but only because he's not in the room. So how about you, Cheryl?
Well, I haven't actually investigated all that many times, so I don't have anything. But I would like to use dowsing rods because I've seen them in use, and I really wanted to try them out myself.
Well, I was going to suggest that your answer should be an office chair.
Oh, it's really, it's not very efficient. It wouldn't travel well, so.
It probably wouldn't, no. Yeah. Okay, well, talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Rick, if you have a question or something, go ahead and start people on it, because I'm looking through my list of questions here to see what I can use for our lightning round.
Okay, we'll make it quick. What's a ghost? What is everybody's theory on what a ghost is?
I don't have a clue.
No idea.
What? What?
It's the soul of a human.
You mm-hmm. think so?
Yeah. Okay. Don't think.
Okay, you know so. That's true. You're privy to knowledge that I don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe it is the energy. It's an energy. And, I mean, it's weird because people say, what faith you are? I said, well, I'm a Christian, too. And they go, you are? How can you be a medium and a Christian? I said, duh. It only proves my faith.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually not a Christian, but I take
play one on TV.
I play one on TV. No, my son plays in a musical group in the church. And so we go to church with him once a month. That's my once a month visit to church.
So you're a priester?
Yeah. And when people at the church find out what I do, that I get that question a lot. And my answer is kind of always the same as yours, Scotty. So it always surprises me when people ask that, you know, well, why would, you know, how can you reconcile this with your Christianity? And I don't ever say to them, well, I'm not. I just say, you know, I would think that it would confirm it.
So. See, now the problem is, that's what one of the reasons I left the Catholic faith is because I got into many fights with priests who said that I couldn't talk to ghosts. I said, but you can?
Yeah.
What gives you the right to talk to ghosts where I can't talk to ghosts?
Right. So
I've been down that road a lot, so.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So, Jenny, what's your theory on what a ghost is?
I don't know. I mean, from what I hear from people that have, like, you know, mediums and people who have contact with them, it is the remains of a human soul that's, you know, here on Earth, that's earthbound or spirit world or whatever you want to call it. But I don't know. I mean, I would guess the most basic definition I could come up with would definitely be the leftover energy of a human soul.
Okay. Cool. But Chad? Oh, go ahead, Scotty. Sorry.
There's two different types of ghosts. There are the ones that are stuck here, and then there are the ones that have crossed over. So there are two different versions.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right, so Chad, what do you think a ghost is? Well, are you a soul person, too?
Well, seeing as I believe in reincarnation, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's pure consciousness that maybe, I mean, because everything basically boils down to everything's energy, and it's just in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just another form of energy, you know, basically we've transformed into this. And because it's like in nature, you know, I think we're just like it is in nature where people, you know, the circle of life where, you know, things die, they go, you know, they replenish the earth and then we come back, you know, as, you know, are reborn.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. So mm-hmm. How about you, JD? What do you think a ghost is?
I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, energy. But like Chad said, you know, what type of energy?
And, right.
You know, it goes back to that again to find out what that is, to quantify it, to see, you know, so who knows? Well,
not to sound all new agey, but every time I think I have the answers, what I wind up with are more questions. So, you know, if you had asked me a year ago, I would have been very certain about what a ghost is. And if you ask me now, So maybe next week. Ask me next week. So how about you, Cheryl?
Yeah, I think that ghosts are different things. I think that there's intelligent spirits that are ghosts. And I think you have people identifying ghosts that are actually a residual energy that is made by some type of impact on the environment. So okay. I think there's different types of definitions going on there.
Okay, very good. So here's the deal, guys. We're going to go into an abbreviated lightning round, and just to go quickly, I'll call you each by name. So ready? Here we go. Stupidest thing you've ever seen on a paranormal show, Chad?
Stupidest thing I've seen on a paranormal show?
Mm-hmm.
Music.
Music? Did you hear that? No. Jenny?
Zach Bagans. Sorry,
Cheryl. Right? So, Scotty.
Ghost Hunters Academy.
Ah, okay. Rick?
Dave Tango.
JD?
Did you hear that? Listen.
No, because the music's playing.
Fist pumping with Jersey Dave.
Oh, woo. Cheryl?
I think it was when they were doing that blood ritual on, what was that show called?
Oh, Extreme Paranormal.
Yeah, that was it. They were doing some weird blood thing that I thought was just not good.
Now, see, and mine is The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Stupidest thing ever.
Dude, yeah. That was jumping the shark.
I know. I was singing Happy Days the whole episode.
Fonzie was on those.
Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, that's Wednesday, right. Happy Days.
Big Daddy Hall's jumped the shark.
Are you guys ready for the next one? So yeah. You're investigating, right? And all of a sudden you hear, get out! Do you, Chad?
No.
No?
I would set up a camera and try to figure out what's going on.
Okay, Jenny?
Depends on where I am and what I'm supposed to get out of. But no, probably not.
Scotty?
Hell no.
Run towards it, huh? Yeah. Rick?
No, definitely not. Unless I'm in, like, the woman's room or something.
And then that's probably not a ghost. Yeah, really.
Then you're...
What, Scotty?
I said, then we're staying. So
don't yeah, and that's it. Usually by the sound of running water, strangely. So, JD?
Hell no, make me.
Cheryl?
No way.
Okay, ready? The next one. Knock on the door. We're here to help. How? Chad?
Well, I would be there to help both the spirits and the whoever the people might be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jenny?
How would I help them? I don't know. I'd tell them to go to the light, Carol Ann.
Okay. Scotty?
I'm here to help the living believe that death is not so bad and it's not scary, and they should embrace where they go from here, and that's what I do. I help the living.
Okay. Rick?
Yeah, first off, those guys, they don't do anything to help anybody on that show. What's really great is, you know, there are people who are rescue mediums, and they are able to help spirits pass on, and I've seen it numerous times in the group that I've worked with. So, yeah, just bring a good rescue medium along with you.
Okay. JD?
Here to help, I think, people and groups understand scientific method and how to utilize it in their investigations.
Okay. Cheryl?
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm here to help with understanding what's going on, maybe how to capture it, and then how to deal with it.
Okay. Okay, ready? One-word question warrants a one-word answer. Orbs? Chad?
Fake.
Jenny?
Dust.
Scotty?
Ridiculous.
Rick?
The simplest form for energy to take is a sphere. So
that is a really big word.
it's physics.
Physics. Okay, JD.
What was the question?
Orb. In other
word
words,
association.
Word association. I say orb. What do you say?
I say breast, but that's different.
Always
but you asked, so
I did. Dusk, you say, JD, and yep. Cheryl, orb?
Energy.
Oh, very good. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. We're just about out of time. I want to give Scotty the opportunity to tell us what's coming up on The Buzz.
Monday night we have a show with Craig Kendall on the Asperger's syndrome. We're taking calls from parents that need help. And trying to help folks that deal with Asperger's and their children on the autism spectrum Monday night.
Oh, very good. That sounds like a good show. I may tune into that because, you know, as I was telling you guys off the air, we have a little bit of that in our house. So, Cheryl, what do we have coming? Do we have something scheduled next week?
We do. Next week we have Philip Summers, and he's known as the Ghost Box Kid, and he's going to come on and share some of his findings and some of his Ghost Box captures. And then the week after we have Deborah and Tony Pickman of the Sally House, which is an infamous
They're
case
awesome.
That you might have heard
I
of.
I cannot wait to talk to them.
Yeah, they are an awesome couple. We had them on the show.
Love
you
them.
Guys will love them.
great.
Oh, love that sloppy book. Seconds. Dang it. We've been scooped by the birds. Okay.
She's actually a really nice lady, Deborah Pickman. She's really sweet.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely. So, Cheryl, yeah. JD, Rick, Scotty, Jenny, and Chad, thank you. Oh, after Paranormal Underground Radio, please stick around to listen to Rob on Night Views. Is it right? Night Views Radio. It's like me with Scott Temperman. I always call him Scott Temperman. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, and everybody, Night Views is celebrating their 2-year anniversary tonight, so make sure to stick around for that.
Nice.
Yeah, stick around. Excellent. Happy anniversary, Night Views Radio, and we will catch you all next week on Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Good night. Good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z Talk Radio Network.